Blog Talk Radio.
And it's time to get around. Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Ruth Anna Marte Theo. And tonight, we have three guests. So far, we have two guests from the LGBT community. And Casey and Michael are here. I just wondered if each of you take a couple of minutes and introduce yourselves, please.
Michael first.
There you go.
I was going to say Casey first.
You're both so polite.
That's okay. My name is Michael Staples, and I am a lifelong member of the LGBTQ community, and I'm here to share my thoughts. Casey?
Yeah.
What do you have to say for yourself?
I'm having technical difficulties. Hold on.
Okay.
Hello.
You...
Okay, I'm sorry. Much better. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes. So I'm supposed to introduce myself?
Yeah.
I'm Casey. Hello. I'm from Casey from the Center of the Universe, Chicago, and I'm lucky enough to be one of Ruth Ann's co-hosts for one of her many plethora of shows she has out here, and I just so happen to be a very butch gay man.
Michael, Casey's working on being butch. I should have warned you.
Oh, wait, Michael laughs when I say that.
Well, like sort of like me, but I've tried to get past that. He's really working on it. And for those of you who don't know them, we do have a show on Sundays and Thursdays, and Casey has been making some improvements in being butch. So that's what
right.
He's talking about. Yeah,
are you attending?
To lower his voice for one thing, but anyway, yeah.
Are you attending butch training classes of some sort?
I have a butch mentor.
I'm sure you do.
except
and I did just
whatever.
I did just get a motorcycle too, so I do have a motorcycle and leathers.
Ooh.
And everything.
Yeah,
hey, Michael.
Yeah. Michael's going to have to come back. Michael's in California, and we're in Illinois. He's going to have to come visit again. see for himself.
Yeah, if only if you pick me up on the motorcycle.
There you go. That could work.
It could be.
Back to the topic at hand.
Mm-hmm.
The LGBTQ community, then. You know, you guys know me, so you know I always like to find out people's background, but why don't you talk a little bit about your childhood and how being part of this community affected you, if it did, if you even knew it when you were a child, because people talk about, well, they know because so-and-so was never, quote-unquote, normal, and, you know, we don't like to use that. We'll just say now, well, they weren't quite like other kids at the time, kind of thing. So did either of you go through that?
When I grew up, I actually came from kind of a hippie-esque family. So I was just talking to a friend about this, as a matter of fact. I think I had a different experience than a lot of people. I had two uncles, one on either side, that were both pretty openly gay. And I used to wear my mom's first communion dress around the house on a regular basis, so I didn't really have a lot to hide, I don't think. Although I really didn't come out till I was 19 or so. So, but I didn't have a lot of issues. You know, I think I had the standard. I'm sure that other people would have the same, you know, in school. You know, there was always the bullies who would try to make fun. But I was also protected by other people. So I wasn't personally overly bullied or anything. So I count myself to be very lucky, because I know there were some other people that were around me even that weren't so lucky when it comes to being bullied and harassed horrendously. So I think it mattered a lot to my upbringing.
Mhm. Okay, Michael, what about you?
For me, it was a pretty horrible story, because I grew up in a very conservative Christian home, and as far as they're concerned, in that type of upbringing, you know, if you dare decide and of course, as far as they're concerned, it is a decision, not birth. But if you dare decide to come out as gay, you basically, you know, signed a one-way ticket to hell, and that's where you should consider yourself heading. So it was, if anything, I would say, you know, throughout my childhood years and even into my young adult years, I really did not come out, really, I wouldn't say to anyone until probably my early 20s. And it was predominantly, I was waiting until I was, you know, free and clear of the family attachment and, you know, had my own sense of independence before I was ready to make that statement to the world.
Mm-hmm. But you still, even though you didn't make the statement to the world, in your heart you knew that you were doomed for hell, according to the family.
Well, no,
when
I didn't
younger.
Believe that. I didn't believe that. My
right,
family
right.
believed that.
Yeah.
And that's why I chose not to, you know, I didn't really, of course, I was a young, impressionable kid, too, and things coming at me from every different direction. So, but even later on, say, even around 16, 17, when I was, you know, kind of beginning already to formulate my own thoughts separate from my family's, I still at that point did not want to, you know, make any kind of big statement about who I was. I wanted to wait until, you know, I was on my own.
Yeah. Well, that makes
because
sense.
The backlash, I knew what the backlash would be, and it would be too much for me, and I think for most people, to be living in an environment that's hostile.
I think so, because that wasn't my particular closet, but we all happen to be pagans, and there's a lot of pagans who are in the closet. And I've been blessed to never have been. But I've seen things that people go through, and in a way, I think there's a lot of similarities. When they just make the decision that it's easier to stay closeted than to come out. But,
right.
You know,
right.
Even coming on a radio show like this and talking about it
mm-hmm.
is sort of activism in its own way, and it's definitely coming out.
Right.
So, you know, and you two both use your real names.
Yeah.
Yeah. I noticed today that some of my Facebook friends were sharing this promo. And so I know they're listening or they'll be listening to the archive. And they're people who are, you know, like the Good Hearts and all. And some of them are actually pretty out, but a couple of them aren't. So they may get, you know, they may even get a little flack for sharing it because we know how.
Right.
People do that. You're both totally out, right? I mean, Casey said he was never in, and you're out with work and your friends and everything now, Michael?
I'm even out with my family as well, but it's still a very sore subject.
Which you just don't really talk about, I think, maybe.
If I want to have, when I am at home for the rare family visit, usually once annually, if we want to have a pleasant visit, there are definitely subjects that are to be avoided, and homosexuality is definitely one of them.
Right.
You know, I was just gonna say it's odd that you say that because I have never really experienced having to hide it because I am out, but I'm out most places, but to a very important person, which is my partner's father, who's very much alive. And still to this day, we're just simply partners in crime that just so happen to share a bedroom in a 3-bedroom house. But he'll still crack gay jokes that are very off color and not nice. You know what I mean? So it makes me wonder, you know, cause I know people actually say, you know, he has to know. Well, why would he say horrible things like that then if he knows? But, so that's really one of the only times I've really had to deal with that other than, well, I had a friend when I finally came out, and my friend had said to my other friend the day after I came out, oh God, I guess I'm going to have to hide my little boy as if I was a child molester. That was really one of the only real issues that I ever had, but that hurts enough. I can't imagine going through something like Michael went through with his family, who, you know, a friend or someone who's just an acquaintance, you can just say fuck off and get rid of, but unfortunately
right.
You can't do that to family. So, I mean, that's just really rough.
You know, it's interesting, though, hearing your story, Casey. I'm terribly envious.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine what it would have been like to have had support from the beginning. I don't even know what that, how different I would have been as a person had I had that support from the beginning.
Yeah, I'm thankful for that, and I'm well aware of how thankful I should be for that, because, boy, I have so many people that don't. You know, it would be easy for me to say, oh, I don't know any better, because that's all that I grew up with. But unfortunately, you know, you live vicariously through other people from time to time, and although we're ahead of ourselves, so God, you know, God forbid we were born just 10 years or 20 years earlier.
God.
So, I mean, in all likelihood, both of us may have not even been alive at this point, you know? So we all have something to be thankful for right now. But, yeah, it's just, it's scary. And people think that, you know, who cares? They're gays, they're accepted, this and so on and so forth. And, you know, it's not true. It's not true, unfortunately.
Well, case in point, or cases, are all these youngsters that are being bullied in school and committing suicide.
Yeah, yeah. And that's been going on for ages, you know. It's just now that it's being documented more.
Exactly.
Right. So now with the internet and everybody having a phone with, you know, that has a camera and can take video in it, you know, it's really made a lot of things that were once in the closet are now being made public, and one of them is the bullying of young gays and lesbians.
Right.
Yeah.
Or even just perceived gays and lesbians or queer.
Right. That's another thing is that you can just be thought of to be in a particular group and you'll receive the bullying, you know, whether it's even true or not.
Yeah.
Right. And unfortunately, we know that creates a lot of bigotry in and of itself, because that person who is the victim of that crime tries to shy so far away from it. That's where we get our, what's Michelle Bachmann's husband's name? That's where we get people like him, you know, that are obviously gay, but that are so anti-gay because of most likely something that they experienced traumatic in their life, you know, that may have had to do something about that, but.
Maybe something traumatic, but that really doesn't give them the right then to try to change everybody else who happens to be. But
who cared about rights?
Yeah.
And this idea that you can change someone of that.
Yeah.
You know, this idea that it's somehow, and I still come across this and it still bugs me, when I see people saying, oh, you know, if you didn't choose to be gay, if you would just choose to be straight or just choose to be Christian or just make these choices that would make your life better, you'd be so much happier. And I'm like, what do you mean choose? I wish I could choose, damn it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been asked that question too, and honestly, to tell you the truth, love you, Ruth Ann, and love my girlfriends, but I still probably would have chosen what I am right now.
Yeah,
I love men.
Well, how do we know? Yeah, how do we know if we weren't born the way we're born?
Right.
Yeah.
I was five years old playing house with the kids down the street and the neighbor downstairs. You know what I mean? And I wasn't the husband either. So, you
right.
know, at five, and I wasn't molested, and I wasn't all, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's not something that I knowingly know is in my history by any means. So, you know, I'm sorry. It was never a choice. It just always was. It just always was.
Yeah. And that's true, I think, for a lot of kids. They know. This is just the way they are. And, you know,
And that is why it is not a choice. It's something that you just know.
Yeah.
It's part of you. It's a part of makeup of your being.
Yeah.
Right. And it's quite natural to me. It's quite natural. I mean, I've kissed a girl and I didn't like it. Or actually, no. Well, I mean, I have kissed girls and liked it before, so I'm lying if I'm saying that. But, you know, it's like I've tried the other.
I kissed a girl and I liked it.
I know, well, we know that. Yeah, but I mean, I just get stinky surprises when that happens to me, so I try to stay away from it, and I just know it's not natural.
Why? Yeah. And I just avoid like that too, Casey, you know. I always go back to, we're all born bi, and then whatever. But that's just my own silliness. Maybe, I don't know, though. It's supposedly okay to be out in the open in the military. And in fact, we've seen a few weeks ago a very highly placed woman. She was the first, how many stars general to get her stars? And we talked about this on Akasha Temple Live. And her wife and her father both had a little thing. They each pinned something on each shoulder of hers. And this, Now, there are a couple of longstanding, but, you know, a few years ago, it would only have been in our dreams that something like that would have happened. And
oh, my God.
You know,
well,
they
may have been appointed, but it would not have been stated openly, and they probably wouldn't have been out of the closet about who they are either.
Exactly. And, I mean,
but
her wife would not have been
someone today and we can say, you know, this is who this person is. I mean, that is a huge step.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So it's really there. And so I don't understand what is this with the like the opposition now. Is this their last dying throes? As I think in a lot of things, they're really kicking up their heels. And
I mean, I personally think that anybody who really has a brain knows that equal rights are on their way. Now, they may not happen this year, or, you know, we all know that even people who have got their equal rights legally in the last 50 years are still struggling in areas. So we know we have a long struggle ahead of us, but it is the final death rattle of those people who are really going to keep that out of legislation, I think. But, you know, they're going to stall it, and they know it. The people who have a half a brain know that they're not going to stop it, but they certainly will do everything they can to stall it. And maybe the second coming of Christ will come before gay marriage is legalized and the world will be saved once again.
Well, right. In which case, then everybody who is any of these initials will burn in whatever, according to these people, so they can be happy with that. What a horrible thing to look forward to. For somebody else, you know, if you really believe this. Have either of you had any experiences with, like, Christian churches going to, or synagogues or mosques or anything?
No, I mean,
since you've known, you know, with maybe people around you knowing, has there been anything?
You know, it's interesting. A lot of the churches that I've been, I don't really attend church regularly any longer, but a lot of the churches that I discovered after leaving my family's church, I actually found there are many churches out there that are very accepting of members of the GLBTQ community and do not see their own doctrine as a black or white situation. Like, if you're gay, you're out, you know, and if you're straight, you're in. They don't really see it that way, which is, you know, ultimately makes sense to me when you're talking religion and a loving God. It doesn't make sense that a loving God would, you know, pick a certain group of people that just couldn't possibly get into his loving graces because of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
That makes no sense to me. You know, and if that's what your religious doctrine teaches, then your doctrine makes no sense to me, because that's not love.
Well, it makes no sense because if you're going along that, you know, the long-haired, white-haired God on a cloud who supposedly made everyone, why would he make someone then?
So he could destroy.
Oh, God, we could talk about that for hours.
Yeah.
I mean, I luckily, I haven't put myself in that situation a lot, but, you know, I did go one time to a friend's Catholic church, and the priest was shortly thereafter a massage client of mine.
Shortly
I was not. And
after, When you mean right. shortly after the service?
Yeah, shortly after, you know, I went to that church, so not that and you know, not that nothing happened, nothing like that, but you know, he was well, he ended up having an issue later on that was whatever, but you know, he was open and I was open at that point, and he was also my second cousin, if that
doesn't
really
matter. Casey, who was more open, you or the priest?
Me. I mean, it took alcohol to open him up. I think he ended up going to a party for a friend, you know, their kid's graduation, and asking the kid when he was drunk if he had a big dick or something like that. I don't know what it was. But, you know, so I personally love the church, if you really want to ask me what it is. That's where I go to get my weekend tricks. But, you know, I have no problem.
Okay. but, you said that this is inevitable, and I agree. That, you know, more acceptance, or at least legal acceptance. Do
right.
either of you want to make any kind of predictions? What do you think in the next 4 years? Whichever, let's go, okay, if Obama's reelected, what's going to happen in the next 4 years in this area?
I think we're going to get gay marriage, and I think that what we're going to realize when we get gay marriage is that right now, just like civil unions, who gives a fuck? It's no big deal. No one pays any attention. And when they realize it's not going to seep insidiously into their home lives, then people are just not going to have to worry about it anymore.
The sad mm-hmm. thing is about trying to pass federal legislation in this country is that whether the legislation, and it can go either way, it can be legislation that's horrible for the people, or it can be legislation that's great for the people, but either way, it always seems like it's this huge mountain that we have to fight and campaign for and get across, and once you cross that mountain, it's like, yes, we did that, but then as soon as you cross the mountain, it's forgotten, and they're on to the next thing. So, yes,
right.
I told Casey that we will get gay marriage, but once we get it, it'll be forgotten and they'll be on to the next thing. But it's the getting there that where all of the hype and all of the arguments and all the fighting and, you know.
And all the world is going to end. Right.
Yeah, it's that big fight. And then it's like the teenagers who are talking about or – you know, certain guys, I guess, who are, and this is for gay men too, who are, you know, like to play the field constantly. And they say their whole thing is, you know, they play them until they get them into bed, and then, you know, the game is over. And I think the same thing is true of the way this society works. You know, we'll fight tooth and nail until we get it into bed. And once it's in bed, we're done. Move on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, Michael, what do you think will happen in the next 4 years if, oh, heaven forbid, Romney gets there? Yeah.
I'll probably be exterminated.
Okay, then.
I honestly, it will not be good. I can tell you that. I mean, it doesn't help that Romney is... I don't know. I feel like I'm not saying – I don't even know for sure that he would necessarily do things against gays and lesbians, but I just don't think he would do – even lift his, you know, his pinky toe to do anything for gays and lesbians. I think if anything, it would just sort of be stalled out for the next four years until you could get someone else in to do something else, to do something different.
Now it could go that way, and I believe too. I'm tending towards the inactivity that might happen just on that front. Now, on the other hand, if he does anything, even lifts a pinky against to go backwards, I think there's a real possibility of some violence. I think there's a real
absolutely.
Possibility of some. I mean, occupy my ass. Do you know what I mean? So I mean, you might see a little, because I think there. I think you get a too bad our other person here, because you get a good number of angry lesbians together, number one, and my God, you could start a war with that alone.
Yeah.
Lesbians of men and women. and their families and people who are fighting, because we know a lot more now. People are coming out as supportive or as friends of LGBT. So that's its own coming out phase. So that those people who have gone through those difficult times of being parents of people with that are gay and lesbian and transgender and questioning and queer gender and all that kind of stuff, those people have had it just as hard as we have, and they're not going back in the closet after all that work. So it's not just the, you know, LGBTQ proper that are going to be mobilized. It's a larger group of people as well.
I agree with you, Casey, too, that it's not so much a matter of under Romney of moving forward, but of definitely not losing any ground that we've gained so far. Especially, you know, with, you know, having gays and lesbians open in the military. I'm sure that's one area that he, if anything, I could see them trying to reverse that. But I think if they did, it would be such a huge backlash. It would be a political suicide.
What would happen to all the people that came out? Would they suddenly be in danger?
That's
so
what
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, that
all those people
I can't
would
even imagine.
All those people would have to be dishonorably discharged, and I just don't see it happening.
And so at the end of the day, whatever you feel about Obama, none of us feel, you know what, have any of us ever felt that any of our presidents were gods on pedestals? No, I don't think
no.
so. And I certainly don't think we feel that way about Obama now. I mean, once again, we've talked about this privately, Ruthann, many times, but we know the president's a figurehead. The president's not the real one who makes the decisions anyway. Just vote for Obama. Please just let him have 4 more years to keep us at least going on this path that we're going. And I don't care what anybody says. Things are getting better. Things are lightening up a little bit. It's slow, but it's a long process. And if you want to talk about the economic, you know, everything about the economics, well, I'm first of all the wrong one to talk to on that one. But when it comes to social reform, he has really helped people out socially. You know, and those who don't like it are the oppressors, are the people who want to keep other people shut up in a corner somewhere. So, of course, they don't like it. Of course, they're my father who speaks on Facebook all day about, you know, he speaks against traditional marriage he speaks for traditional marriage. And I forgot to even mention that. Yeah, while I never had to be out, suddenly my father at the age of in his 50s or 60s has become conservative right religion and suddenly is the mortal enemy, you know, at that point. But, I mean, I can go tangential on that.
So you do have some idea of what I've been going through.
Yeah, but I fight. I don't lay down. I will pick and I will prod and I will start arguments with that one right there, because it's so hypocritical. When a person has not been like that their whole life and then suddenly switches over for some godforsaken reason, I have no clue why. Oh, yeah, I can't help it. I mean, it's one thing if you were born that way or you grew up and you've always been conservative like that. Okay, what are we going to talk about? You know what I mean? But other than that, it's just ridiculous. But I guess I do have some of those same things going on, but it's from a different perspective, I think.
It is a strange about face that happened like midlife.
Yeah.
Very much so. And I don't even know what brought it on either, so.
But whatever. Yeah, but he wants to make sure Casey and Kevin know he loves them, but pretty much you're going to hell. But
And we have no right to have children ever or adopt or ever think about getting married.
God
forbid. That's just wrong. That's just wrong.
Yeah. No. It's interesting sometimes to see the conversations that his father and Casey have.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, you know, even though, like you say, after the rights are totally won and everything, then people go on to something else. But, you know, you have to be vigilant, because think about Roe versus Wade, and then how now in the past few months these conservatives have been coming out against women and saying women don't have the right to control their own body and things. So just like the blacks, they have to be vigilant.
And Ruthann, I think that issue, actually, if Romney is voted president, God forbid, that issue, I think, is the one that will be first
you know, on his list of things to repeal will be Roe versus Wade, because I know he is totally 100% anti-abortion rights.
Yeah, I'm afraid we would hear about that. So, yeah, we just have to hope and pray, do whatever, not to let him in.
How long are we on for tonight, by the way?
27 more minutes.
Oh, we got a whole hour? I thought we had to wrap. That's why I was trying to wrap up my thoughts in the 30-minute hour or whatever.
No.
Oh, well, in that case, I have to get a drink of water. I'm so parched all this talking. I'll be right back.
Okay. Do you think this issue is more a political issue or human rights or just a combination of the two?
I would say it's certainly a combination. Certainly, I think it's a very hot political topic right now. And it's also, you know, the GLBTQ community, I think, will be seen, maybe not so much now. We are a little bit, what is the word, not well organized, but I believe that in time, people will look to our community as a real political force, someone to campaign to in order to get our votes.
I mean, we also have money.
Well, yes, we do.
So we like to spend.
Right. So politicians who love to get money should, you know, keep this in mind. Hopefully it won't be all that long, so we'll have politicians that aren't on the take, though, so that won't make any difference. But it's true, just like with companies, vote with your money.
That's right.
Exactly. So when people, that whole thing, this is one topic that has cracked me up profusely. The whole Chick-fil-A thing, okay? It's a tired subject, whatever. I'm not going to go deeply into it. What I am going to say, however, though, what really made me just laugh. I couldn't even be pissed off. It just made me laugh is to hear people say, just because you don't agree with Chick-fil-A doesn't mean you shouldn't spend your money. They're a business. And how can you try to tell people not to spend their money there and this and that? What the fuck are you talking about? And pardon my French. I'm so used to being on my own show. I don't know if you cuss on your show or not. But
it's mature. It's okay.
Okay, good. But, you know, come on. You mean to tell me that you're going to tell me that I shouldn't vote with my dollars that I earn so very hard and tell other people that, you know what, if you're going to spend money over there, then you're a fool. If you're against something that they're willing to be so outwardly bigoted about, you're going to, and number two, honey, their chicken isn't that good. So I'm sorry.
Well, I wouldn't spend any money with them anyway, but... Go ahead, Michael.
Whoever the fool is that made that comment, I mean, obviously he's never heard of a boycott and how boycotts are used to create change.
I heard this several times, Michael. Part. It wasn't just one person. It was in articles that I was reading. It was on the news because I like to listen to OutQ Gay Radio, and people were saying it on the interviews. It's just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. No, I totally believe you, Casey. I'm just saying that, you know, it's ridiculous to me that anyone would make such a statement when I'm sure there are other things like. Probably the same person who made that statement is the same person who would boycott anything that they knew to do with supporting GLBTQ rights. So
exactly.
They'll say you can't use it against them, but they will certainly turn around and use it against you.
Right. They'll be the first ones to tell you don't shop on Amazon.com. You know, they support those gays.
That's right. And don't buy a Subaru.
Right. God forbid you buy a Subaru Outback and look like a lesbian. You know what I mean? So
we can't all be Martina.
Right.
There you
and
go.
Nor do you want to be.
Well, there's that too. But, yeah, I don't get that. When they would be supposedly lining up after church, people who are used to, like, the fried chicken family dinners after church, but their mission was to get to a Chick-fil-A place and line up to support them.
Yeah.
I read something about that, and it's like, what the hell? These people have totally... But Michael's right, as far as hypocritical. If it was something that was, supporting.
Well, I mean, but isn't that hypocritical in and of itself to support a business more? If you're saying, how could you deny a business your money just because you don't agree with them? Isn't it in the same vein that you actually go spend your money at a place just because you agree with their political beliefs?
Yeah, it seems like it's sort of the other, and many people do. Well, that's where the old boys network comes in, as far as, you know, you believe like I do, or you've been supporting some cause I'm really gung-ho for, so I'm going to buy from you. And that doesn't seem, you know, I think that might be, okay, whatever, but when you start urging people not to shop someplace, then... You should sort of, I mean, I'm not sure because it's not the exact opposite. There's a little difference in there between spending your money for somebody you support.
Believe in, right, versus one that you do not.
That you really don't, or a program that you don't like.
I mean, it definitely would be hypocritical if somebody were to support a business whose principles they did not believe in. That would be very strange and hypocritical. Like, for instance... Somebody who on Facebook is like, oh, I believe in the Palestinian cause and I'm fighting for the Palestinian cause, but God forbid if every morning I don't get my triple latte at Starbucks, which
exactly.
supports Israel. That
exactly.
is hypocritical.
Yes. Yeah. That's where it happens. And Michael, you were sort of fading, so come back to us. We've got a comment here from 618, and I think we know her. Hello.
Hey. Hey, Michael. It's good to hear you. I haven't heard you in so long. This is Janet or Agrimony.
Hey, Janet. How you doing?
Good. How's California treating you?
California is great. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. I can be myself here. Nobody cares.
Oh, that's so cool. I'm glad you're happy. I have comments on this, and you know I do. But
wait,
it's like
wait,
the Chick-fil-A shit will not go away here because during the midst of this boycott stuff, they opened a new standalone Chick-fil-A in Fairview, a nearby town, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now in a few months, they're going to be opening one in the town I live in. And so every time, I mean, it's been a lively debate on the newspaper because these people are going, well, I'm just going to go buy extra sandwiches. It's like, good, but... And then that comment Casey made where people say, well, it's a business. The guy that said this is not the one that owns this one. Yeah, but he gets money from it.
Exactly.
You know?
It's
and
a
I,
franchise. Yeah.
Yeah, and I've boycotted Domino's Pizza since 1987. Yes, I have not had one taste of Domino's. And previous to that, the local Domino's knew my voice, and they knew my order. But I quit because they support corporately Operation Rescue, a cause I find offensive. I also boycott Curves, the woman's health fitness spa, and their related products. Even when I've been given coupons for free ones, I don't use it because they donate money to anti-women's groups. And so I think
right,
that is the way to say
it's
it.
It's all about boycotting. Thank you for acknowledging my presence when you came in this room, by the way, Agrimony.
I'm so sorry, Casey. You butch.
I get so much as a hello.
Now, see, if you were a little more butch, you probably wouldn't have even noticed that.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. No, I welcomed you, Michael, and I'm sorry, Casey.
I'm
going to shut
up.
I didn't say hello to you either. It's good to hear your voice.
Casey, she encounters your tired old ass all the time. She doesn't need to welcome you.
I didn't put Domino's out of business, and I didn't put Curves out of business. But I can feel good about myself.
Exactly.
That, you know, and that's all that's important. I mean, I don't know if, I mean, I hopefully Chick-fil-A will do bad. I mean, because I think it's like, it's the last thing the fat asses around here need is more fattening fast food. But
well, that's it.
I
hope they do bad just because they're poisoning people. So, hey.
I mean, buttered fried chicken.
Yes.
I guess if I were going to do that, I might try that. I've never tried putting butter on the fried chicken. And I actually had Chick-fil-A once. It wasn't really that good. I didn't care for it. But and the other thing is, spread this to people. This is a really interesting comment. The day they had their big national love-in was the day the one in Fairview Heights opened. And Rick went by the bread store to pick up something for us. And the clerk was going out of her mind because the manager of Chick-fil-A wanted her to give them all of, like, the really old crappy buns they have there.
Uh-huh.
Because he was
wow.
running out of buns. So the Chick-fil-A buns are, like, bought from the day-old store. Now, I mean, you know, I, personally, we buy a loaf of bread there, you know, because we can buy this fancy bread we like for half the price of the store. And we buy it as we need it, and it's not bad. But the buns are shit. A lot of times they give them to you because they're duck bread. Is what
right.
they call it. They're
yeah.
they're crumbly. And this is what the Chick-fil-A do, because she said, well, they came down twice. They were wiping them out of all the buns. And I thought, isn't that terrible? They're charging full rate for these sandwiches. And the other thing I wanted to say is, I guess the reason I never cared for them to begin with was they. I found this personally offensive. This was many years ago in Nashville. I had one, and I thought it was interesting. And it was like a Monday, Tuesday afternoon. I was shopping in the mall, and I had stopped to have something to eat. And the women next to me were talking about how cool their meal was and how nice it was. It was free. Okay? And I found out, okay, I wonder how you get it free, because, you know, I like freebies. And it turns out if you get it, they're closed on Sundays. It's a corporate rule because they want their people to go to church. And if you take your church bulletin in on Monday or Tuesday, you get a free sandwich. And I just thought, well, okay, obviously right there, I knew then they were discriminating, and this is a true policy to this day. My husband says what we ought to do is print out a massive amount of church bulletins and have people lined up on Mondays just to wipe them out and hurt them. I said, no, and then go give the food to the homeless.
No, the homeless don't deserve that kind of shit. Why would
That's
you try
what
to
I said,
them?
You know. But no, I just thought that was offensive because I thought, well, you know, that's their right. They can do what they want, you know. But I don't want to go, I don't like it, you know. And then I heard this thing about the gay thing about maybe 2 years ago when they donated, some franchise out east donated a bunch of sandwiches to a defense of marriage seminar where they were teaching. Right, and then so some word got around, and some colleges have refused to allow them on their campuses because of the donations. And this predates the current flap.
Okay,
well,
thank
so
you.
So I encourage people.
Oh, go ahead. You encourage people.
You know, I encourage people, you know, to boycott. Like I said, you may not shut them down, but you can feel good about yourself. And
exactly.
You know.
So I have to change that. I had read, like I said, about a, after a church thing, so maybe it was prayer meeting night, Wednesday night or something. But that's interesting that they've always been like that.
And now that we've spent entirely too much time talking
on
about
them,
Chick-fil-A.
I wanted to mention, and I wanted to ask Michael how he deals with this, because I'm just always sort of stymied, and Casey and I have a friend who really, really loves Casey. I mean, beyond whatever, she really loves him, and his partner. But we catch her so often saying, well, like, well, Casey's all right, even though he is gay. Or I really, you know, Casey this and that, even though he's gay. And
I don't care if he's gay. I still love him.
Right. Right. We tried to explain, you know, that you're actually being condescending when you...
Extremely condescending, and it's almost like a jibe. It's like,
yeah,
you know, you're a wonderful person,
even though
are a Republican, I still love you. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's like it's this negative thing that we can quickly sweep under the rug and sort of say as an off comment, you know.
Right.
Even though
you murdered a whole nation of people, I still love you.
I still love you.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
we know
it doesn't come up from a place of trying. She's not trying to be hurtful by any means. It's just
not in her case at all.
It's kind of part of the society to do that, because I think this has happened to other groups as well. For instance, African Americans, probably to Native Americans. At some point, you know, as they're fighting for recognition and equality in a nation where we're all supposed to be equal under God, quote unquote, you know, there are often things will come up in everyday English that are, in fact, ridiculing that particular group that's fighting for their rights. And I think that happens, you know, throughout the ages, and it's certainly something that's happening with us right now. And what I guess what I'm trying to get at is that even though your friend isn't necessarily aware or is not, you know, saying those things from a mean place or to try to hurt you, still I think it's almost like it becomes accepted in a society to talk, even in a joking way, to talk poorly about particular groups that have not yet, achieved their equal status that we all should have from the get-go.
I actually had I had something that came up because a lot of this is very subliminal, or you don't even realize what you're saying. And I think a lot of that with that specific case is true. But you know, the obvious one is people saying that's so gay. There's a big movement against that, or that's so retarded. There's a big movement against that. But there's little things that people say, like I just learned in the last year that if you were to say I got gypped out of some money or I got gypped out of a deal, that it actually was referring to gypsies. I got gypsied out of a deal.
Oh my gosh, and that makes sense.
Well,
you don't even realize.
I didn't know that.
Just like
meant
somebody.
That.
Well, people talk about Jewing someone down. There again, you're talking about the Jewish culture.
Right. So I mean, there's so many different. Yeah, in our. A linguistics person would probably have a field day if they were involved in civil rights and so on and so forth, because they could probably give us a huge rundown of the things that we come across every day we don't even realize have hate in the root of it. So
what a wonderful essay or paper that would be,
or a good topic for a radio show.
There you go. That kind of thing. Yeah. Okay. I don't know how active in different ways the two of you are, so I'm just going to ask what you are doing for quote-unquote the cause right now. How do you support it?
You know, for myself, I'm sorry, go ahead, Casey.
No, go for it.
All I was going to say is, you know, for myself, you know, when I was in my 20s and 30s, and I was living in Chicago, I used to be much more active politically for the community, taking part in Pride events and taking part in various political action groups. Now, today, I don't really focus my energies in that way so much anymore. I find that for myself, the best way that I can, present the best foot forward for an active gay man in the society is just to lead the most exemplary life for myself that I can, and to show that example to the world out there, to show them that, you know, we're no different than anyone else. We just have a particular preference when it comes to intimacy.
Yes. And I have to agree 100% with Michael. And you know, I've struggled with that before. That is that a cop out? Is that mean? You know, whatever. We all have our different things that we are busy with and that we fight for. And not everyone is a political activist. I would not consider myself to be a political activist, but I do know that I am an activist in just the way that I present myself, and that, you know, if something comes up, I'm going to be the first one to say something. If I see something that needs to be corrected, I'm going to say it, and I'm going to make sure that I say it in a way that is not threatening, that does not make you despise me and my people even more, because, you know, hate begets hate. So to me, to respond with more anger doesn't really help. So I try not to do that when possible, although it doesn't always come through. But, you know, I've done things. I'm in school for human services now. God, why? I don't know. But I've been honored to be able to help out groups in the city of Chicago that work, you know, for different populations and so on. Namely, one in particular is the homeless youth gay population, which is a very hard population to deal with for many, many different reasons. But if you were asking me if I went out and marched, no, I personally have not. But I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
Do either of you get involved in signing petitions or calling or writing your representative? Anything
yes.
like that?
Yes, yes, yes.
Huge, huge.
Yeah, okay. All right, because
so,
really...
I guess if that's political activism, then sure, then absolutely.
No, that's definitely political activism. That's is important. You know, I've had people tell me, well, I don't sign petitions. They don't do any good. It's like, fuck that. I mean, I see, not all the time, but it's not just occasionally. I see where some campaign petition kind of thing has paid off. So, you know, it doesn't...
Yeah.
When something comes up on Facebook or somebody sends you an email and says, please sign it, you know, and if you have the time and would like to, you can always add comments or write, you know, a little extra. But if not, just sign it. It does make a difference.
Well, and at the very least, at least look at it. Look at it and see if it's something that you feel one
right.
way or the other about.
Yeah.
And if you feel for it, even if you don't believe your signature makes any difference, what does it hurt to put it on there?
That's it. What it's not going to hurt. You know,
right.
it just takes 2 seconds and put your name on.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, so many things, well, it does make a difference. And when your representatives or the people there who answer the phone start to know your voice and things, okay, that's not a bad thing. You know, just do what you can.
That's a surprisingly very good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I will say on a side note, though, I did not erase when I get emails from HRC and I get emails from Move On and all these different organizations that I've done different things for or, you know, signed stuff for and so on and so forth. I will tell you, today I did not erase a message that asked for people to do calling parties for the Democratic Party because I thought, that could be kind of fun. So... Who knows? You never know where I might make my next move. But all in the name of a party. I guess that you can host a party where people get together and make calls. That you might hold a party at your house or something where people might get together and do political action, right? You know, grassroots political action for the party.
Right, and that would be fun. Yeah,
kind of like a 21st century version of a Tupperware party.
I think it could be. And
there
I think
you go. And, of course, if you go to Casey's, he'll have some wonderful kind of dip, too. So, okay. Yeah, that sounds great. So, as we close, what kind of action do you think people should take? And those of us who are the support system for our own particular LGBTQ people, what kind of advice do you have for us?
I think my only advice is to is if you're swaying one way or the other, please just be active instead of inactive. The people on the right, the people that would like to keep us from getting our rights, are very active, and it's often those of us who are on this side who feel defeated or feel like they don't want to put their name out there because something might happen at their job or whatever. Find a way to be active. There are so many different ways. You don't have to go marching on the streets. You can just sign petitions. You can just be yourself, and you can, like Michael and I, who are very proud. I'm just speaking for you, Michael, sorry, who are very proud to just be and to just show the world that by being who you are, that is political activism in and of itself.
Absolutely. I would agree with that. And I would just say, and this is something that Ruth Ann has heard me say millions of times, and as the rest of you hear me more often, you will hear me say this millions of times, but my whole thing in this world, in this life, you might even say, my biggest lack of understanding or what I don't get is how hard our society works at trying to create divisiveness, trying to separate us, trying to create groups and
blackness and different socioeconomic groups, the rich and the poor and the haves and the have-nots and all this crap. Well, I feel the same way about being a gay man in the society. I just want people to see me as another human being, the same way I try to see other people. And that's what I'm working towards in this life, and that's what I hope other people will do the same for as well, is that ultimately, no matter who you meet, whether they're a different race, whether they speak a different language, whether they have a different political ideology, or whether they're gay or not, that you first, before any of that other stuff, you first see them as a fellow human being.
Exactly. We all come from the stars, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to put in a couple plugs for you guys. Casey hosts with me a show on Sundays and Thursdays at 8 o'clock Central on Radio Akasha, called Akasha Temple Live, a 90-minute variety show. And he may be going to start another show actually about the topic we're discussing now. And Michael, beginning next week, Wednesday, after this particular show, Gather Round, will be doing 30 minutes. And he's going to be talking with people, who've done some type of contribution to the world in some way. I mean, from just their knowledge sharing to politically, to religiously. You're going to cover the spectrum, I think, right, Michael?
Pretty much. And, you know, essentially, I guess how I'm building the show is it's going to be random sort of everyday people, people that might be your neighbors, people that you might work with, et cetera, who basically have a story to share, but it's a story that will probably have an effect on the larger listening community.
Mm-hmm. So an inspirational kind of thing,
yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
Or just information you can use.
Yeah. That's always good. Casey, you want to say a couple things about the show that you're contemplating that's in the planning stages?
Oh God, it's my show's in a very, very early,
very
planning
early
stages. So I don't really know where the focus is 100% yet, but I'm I'm sure I'll be talking to Michael about this eventually, but I'm looking to do to start off with anyway with a round of guest co-hosts, doing all different topics from the LGBT community. So look, that's where my political action will probably come in mostly, is through entertainment and through just talk. But whether you are lesbian, gay, transgender, genderqueer, which is something that I'm learning about only recently. It's something that I wasn't real aware of what genderqueer was before. But I'm looking to find different people. So if you're listening, please give me email. Ruthann, I'm sure, can put that on somewhere. But I would really love to connect with different people on all kinds of different topics. Another variety. I'm good at variety. I can't focus in too much, otherwise I'll get bored. So it's looking to be really coming from a gay perspective.
Right. So, well,
is there a name for your show, Casey?
What's that?
Is there a name for your show?
Not yet. I haven't even gotten that far yet. So, yeah, it's coming. We'll announce it as soon as it comes. I just actually went into this last week, so I thought that this must happen now. So
this won't be it, but this would be a good one. Butch me. Anyway.
Well, that could be women or men, right? So it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Could be. Well, you send in your ideas for names of the show, and we'll pick from there. Is what we'll do.
There we go. You know, we are all three on Facebook. So give us a look. Thank you, guys. And thank you, Janet, for calling in. This has been fun. And I think we've got some ideas out there. And you've expressed yourselves very well, gentlemen. So
It's interesting to be on the other side of the microphone, as it were.
Isn't it?
So I don't have to worry about pushing buttons and keeping things together or getting stuff together. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you both came on. So have a
Thank
nice
you.
Rest of the evening, and we'll have you back. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.